looking at the role of the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit does, what we find in Scripture. And so we said that the Holy Spirit does the work of regeneration, giving spiritual life to dead sinners. The Holy Spirit dwells within the believer. The Holy Spirit seals and secures the believer. The Holy Spirit has written a book given to believers. The Holy Spirit convicts of sin, righteousness, and judgment. The Holy Spirit testifies of Jesus Christ. And then, this one is going to be close to it, but a little different. The eighth thing we want to look at is this reality in 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 20, 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, "But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things." You have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Verse 27 says, "But the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in Him." So the word there in verse 20, you've been given an unction, or you have an unction from the Holy One. The word unction there is the same word for anointing. It just means to anoint. And so it's this reality that the Holy Spirit imparts knowledge to His people. We see that a little more clearly in verse 27 when He goes on to say, "You need not, because of this anointing, you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth and is no lie, even it is as it hath taught you, you shall abide in Him." Now, this doesn't mean obviously that there's no value in having someone open up the Word of God and teach it to you. What it does mean is that every Christian who is indwelled by the Holy Spirit is being taught by the Holy Spirit. As you grow in knowledge, whether that is through your own personal study of the Word, or maybe that's as you sit under the preached Word, as you are being taught, it's a miraculous thing. It's a spiritual thing that's happening. The Holy Spirit has given you an anointing so that you are being taught by Him. These spiritual truths are being confirmed in your heart. They're being confirmed in your mind. And again, the kind of teaching that we're referring to here in verse 27 is not just a cognitive type teaching. It's not just a pen and paper type teaching, although that's going to be part of it. But really, we're talking about a teaching that makes these realities come to life. The Spirit shows you that these things are true, and you begin to be able to find comfort or conviction or strength within these realities. You're not dependent upon, and really, in many ways, there is no way that there could be a substitute for the kind of teaching that's being mentioned here in verse 20 and in verse 27. As a pastor, a preacher, I can never replicate what John is communicating here as far as what the Spirit does in your life. And you know what I'm talking about. If you've been walking with the Lord for some time, maybe you've been reading the Bible for 50 years, and all of a sudden you're reading the Word and you come across something and it just jumps off the page and you think, "I have never seen that before. How is it that I've read Scripture all these years and this has never been made known to me the way it was made known today, this morning, or whatever?" Same way with preaching. You could hear someone preach the same text 100 times And then all of a sudden somebody says something about it and you say, well, my goodness, I have never, ever, that just seems so obvious, but somehow I've missed it over the years. And it's not because the preacher was so great, it's because the Holy Spirit opened up your eyes and your mind to this, again, this reality to where you say, it wasn't just that it was an insight that was so helpful, it was the plain text of Scripture jumped out of the page and I've never seen it like that before. How does that happen? Well, it happens through the Holy Spirit. You've been given an unction. You've been given an anointing. And you need not that any man teach you, but this anointing leads you into, or maybe I should say, opens up for you these spiritual realities. In some ways, we're talking about the spiritual discernment that's mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 14. So it's not just that. Well, let's go over there. It's a familiar passage, but I don't want to mess it up here. First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. It says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." So a lot of times when we go to that verse, probably most of the times when we go to that verse, we're going there to talk about the necessity of the work of regeneration in the natural man so that he's able to receive spiritual things. Okay? That's one side of the coin. But the other side of the coin is this. The man that has the Holy Spirit indwelling him, the man or the woman, is an individual who has the ability and is currently discerning spiritual things. The Spirit is at work in that individual's life, and the Spirit is helping build discernment. And so as you're coming into contact with truth, that is either through your own personal reading, through the preaching of the Word, through spiritual conversation, fellowship, those kinds of things, again, you could be talking about a passage that you've known about for years and years and years and years, and all of a sudden, what was not you didn't really have access to before looks like the most obvious thing on the page, and you wonder how you ever glossed over it. Well, that's the work of the Spirit. It's the work of the Spirit. And so, as the Spirit does that work, it's a continual work. And so that's one of those encouragements that you are never going to get to the point to where you have wrung everything that you can out of Scripture. Okay, you could spend your life pouring into Scripture, and you will never get to the point to where the insights stop, to where you've gleaned everything that can possibly be gleaned. You've learned everything that you could possibly learn. And that's because the Spirit is continually bringing you truth that you had not yet seen before. If we think about it, we kind of think about it like we talk about sanctification being a process or growth being incremental. And that's the way the Spirit reveals truth to His people. It's an incremental thing. He typically does not open up your head and pour it all in at once. It's line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, and you continue to grow. So He imparts knowledge. Next, in Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Paul tells the Ephesians what he has been praying for them. And so Ephesians 1, 15. "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And then verse 19 is really what I'm after. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. What does the Spirit do? The Spirit gives power. Okay? The Spirit gives power. He gives power specifically for you to be able to serve and obey the Lord. Now, what kind of power do we have? Paul's praying here. Paul says in his prayer, I'm praying that the Lord would open your eyes so that you would know the kind of power that you have access to. Notice Paul's not praying, I'm praying that the Lord would give you power. Paul's saying, I'm praying that you would be aware of the kind of power that the Lord has already given you through the Spirit. And he says, just in case you don't know what that is, it's the same power that brought Jesus from the dead. And so the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, gives the saints of God power in a supernatural sense to be able to serve Him, to be able to walk with Him. Power over sin that we would not typically have. Power to have boldness in situations where we would not typically have that kind of boldness. Power to have maybe liberty or freedom, or power to be able to take advantage of a particular situation that we are just, it's just clear did not come from us. In 1 Peter chapter 1, after Peter talks about the fact that we have not been redeemed with corruptible things, but we've been redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Verse 21, it says, who by Him do believe in God that raised Him up from the dead, and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. And then verse 22, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Okay, this is what Peter says. You have purified your souls in obeying the truth. How? Through the Spirit. Through the Spirit. Now, there are times where you've heard people, this is not uncommon, you've heard people say, you know, the only thing I know about Christianity is just a bunch of rules. Right? It's just a bunch of rules. God, it's just a bunch of do's and don'ts that God gives us. Well, anyone that knows anything about Christianity from a informed perspective knows it's not just a bunch of rules. Although, when you look at what it means to live life in Christ and to grow, obedience is required. But that's far different, or a biblical understanding of that is far different than saying, well, if you're going to be a faithful Christian, then you have to do X, Y, and Z. Okay, what true Christianity says is that Christ has done for you what you could never do for yourself. And then He's given you the Spirit to give you the power and the strength to walk in obedience in a way that's not grievous to you. Right? So the Christian who is pursuing God is not grieved by the fact that we are called to obey. Right? We're grieved by our weakness, we're grieved by our inconsistencies, we're grieved by the perverseness in our own hearts. And what Peter says here is that you purified your soul through obedience, and this is how you did it. You did it through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, we talked about this last month in the book study when we were talking about the righteousness of Jesus and the power of Jesus. And sometimes we find ourselves in a place to where we are maybe enslaved to sin, and we think, I just do not have the strength to overcome this. And the reality is, in and of yourself, you're exactly right. You don't. But God doesn't expect you to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. God has given you His Spirit, and if you are a born-again believer, the Spirit of God lives in you, is teaching you, and is empowering you to be able to repent of sin and walk with Christ. And so we don't look to ourselves, but we look to the power of the Holy Spirit. So what does that mean? Well, for one thing, it means that we don't boldly walk around thinking that sin has no sway over us. Right? We don't boldly walk around thinking, I can repent of whatever I want to repent of, whenever I want to repent of it. Just give me a chance and let me show you. Okay, we're dependent on the Spirit. Okay, now, that's not an excuse. We don't get to say, whenever we find ourselves in sin, I'm blaming it on the Spirit for not working. But brothers and sisters, we should never think of ourselves in any light as being above the ability to fall to sin. And so whenever we're dealing with our own personal sin, it should always be in a spirit of humble dependence on the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. Okay? We're still active. Okay, we're still seeking repentance. We're still walking in faith. But we're certainly not acting like we're the one with all the spiritual muscle. Okay, that comes from the Holy Spirit. And that should encourage us, really. It should encourage us. And so the Spirit imparts knowledge. The Spirit gives power to serve. Okay, so we were talking about sin earlier, but the Spirit also gives us not just power to overcome sin, but power to use our gifts to serve one another. Remember Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7? That the Spirit has given us different gifts, right? He's given gifts to the church, and they are all measured out by Christ through the Spirit, by grace to the believer. And sometimes we can be intimidated about, well, what do I have to give? How in the world would I ever serve here? What do I have that I can contribute? And the reality is, the Spirit has not only given you a gift to use, but He gives you the power to use it as you serve God's people. Again, it's an encouragement. All right, and lastly, when we think about the Holy Spirit's role from Scripture, He gives knowledge, He gives power. And then in Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And so the last thing we'll say about the Holy Spirit today is that the Spirit is interceding on behalf of His people. What does that mean? Well, that means there are times in life, and you know this, you've experienced this if you've lived very long, there are times in life where you can be heavily burdened and have no idea how to put those burdens into words, or really have no idea what you ought to be asking for as you go to the Lord. And what Romans 8 tells us is that the Spirit knows. The Spirit is interceding. He's actively interceding for us to the Father. And the Spirit is making those petitions known according to the will of God. You know what that does for us? It frees us up in prayer, doesn't it? I don't mean it makes us sloppy to where we don't really care what we say and we can go however we want to go. But I mean it from the standpoint that we can sincerely go to the Lord and we can sincerely pour our heart out and ask for the things that are on our hearts, and at the same time be confident that if God's will is not in line with my will, that the Spirit has already beat me to it and is praying on my behalf according to the will of God. And so the Spirit is interceding, continuing to intercede on behalf of the Lord's people. And so those are 10 things whenever we look at Scripture. And we see what is the role of the Holy Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit doing? Who is the Holy Spirit pointing to? And how is He doing what He's doing? You'll notice that there are several things that didn't make the list. You'll notice we didn't say anything about the Holy Spirit moving anyone to speak in tongues. You'll notice we didn't say anything about the Holy Spirit from a positive standpoint of speaking directly to you about something. We didn't do that. And the reason we didn't do that is because Scripture doesn't do that. Okay? That doesn't fit under what the Bible has to say about what the Holy Spirit does. And so, I hope it's been a blessing to you. I hope you'll review these things and they will help you not just to find comfort in the third person of the Trinity, but also to give you boldness in what God has called you to do. Because He's with you. He has sealed you. He has marked you out for Himself. He is teaching you. He is interceding on your behalf. He's giving you the power you need to do what He's called you to do. And so when we think about the role of the Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters, it should bring comfort and it should bring hope. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. We thank You for the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We thank You for the hope that it brings. Father, that our labors are not in vain. We thank You for the comfort that's there. And Father, we thank You for the expression of Your faithfulness to us through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, we pray that You would bless us to be able to understand, to be able to glean, to be able to rejoice in the reality of what a friend we have in Jesus and what a friend we have in the Spirit of God who dwells in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Anyone have anything on their hearts before we dismiss? All right, you're dismissed.